from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now you're kissing Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay. That sounds good. I'm gonna read it. Dear Chase, there's stickers.
Yeah.
My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Hour number two of the Hot Corner right here on 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, YouTube, and Twitch for the kids. We get into hour number two here, and we are going to get into the second half of the MLB season here on Friday. But at the All-Star break, Rob Manfred does his State of the Union address, talks to different reporters, media members about some of the big things happening around the MLB, talked about how they're worried about player safety when it comes to gambling. I didn't go into that too far because, I feel like that's just... Twitter fingers out there. You ruined my parlay, bro!
I don't think it's just Twitter fingers. I do think we've heard stories of different players confirming to media members that they have been approached, at least offered money, you know, to do certain things during a game.
I thought he was talking about, like, players getting threats from, like, random bros because of their parlays or their missed bets. Like, if you would have gone 3-for-3 today and actually got that home run...
Well, no, that too.
We won $50,000.
It's beyond the Twitter fingers. People are shouting that at games. Like, I remember Jason Tatum, and this is obviously an NBA player, but talking about, like, he could hear people, you know, on the court shouting at him from the stands, like, you blew my parlay, bro. And he feels bad. And so I'm assuming, you know, there's that level of anger, and Rob Manfred's heard about it from his players.
And that part of his State of the Union address brought to you by DraftKings. If you use the promo code We Don't Care, you'll get an extra 100% bonus.
Oh, they care.
On your bets.
They care. That is the nice thing about all this being above board, Joe, is that we do hear about any of these seedy dealings happening or bets like Jontay Porter that are illicit or not supposed to be made by somebody like that. Everybody wants to keep it above board, so we hear about it.
Another thing he addresses is something that we just addressed, is that the growing sentiment of using regular jerseys in the All-Star game, that players should use their own team jerseys of the team they're representing, which I think the majority is for.
But Nike won't let that happen because money.
Money. But the biggest thing that came of this, I think the biggest thing that I saw from what he was telling the press is that robot umpires, they could be in the MLB in some way as soon as next year.
Ooh.
Major League Baseball hopes to test robot umpires as a part of a challenge system during spring training next year, and quite possibly could have them implemented into regular season games, and I assume postseason, in 2026. Here is Rob Manfred's quote. We need 25 to do the spring training test if we can get these issues resolved, which will make 26 a viable possibility. Is that going to be the year? I'm not going to be flat-footed on that issue. They have been experimenting with that at the AAA level. I mean, for the last few years, but they brought it into AAA ballparks last season. And, I mean, this is inevitable. We all knew this was coming at some point. I'm not sure if we knew it was going to be this soon, but again, if you're at the AAA level testing it out and you have this upcoming season to give it a try during spring training, then why the hell not, right? I just don't know how to feel about this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's part of me that, you know, technology has obviously changed so much in sports with instant replay and being able to make the right call. And there is something about baseball, which this might be very old man takey, but there's just something about like umpires, the human error of umpires in the game itself, and the strike zone and trying to figure out the strike zone and what an umpire is calling versus what is the strike zone, you adjusting to your batting stance closer to the plate, further up, further back, trying to get a feel for the stadium, trying to get a feel for like all these factors as a hitter. And I don't know if it's just a matter of players are sick of it, but as we talked about weeks ago, a couple months ago, is that umpires have gotten better. Like, their calls have gotten more accurate over the years, but I guess just with the megaphone that everybody has nowadays of showing their discontent and their anger with missed calls and missed strikes and missed balls. And if you have the technology, if you have the power to improve something and it's right there and it is working at different levels of baseball and it's working at AAA and you can get it to work at the MLB level, then why not use it? There is just something about the game of baseball that has just a very traditionalist feel that implementing this type of technology, it just feels weird to me. But again, for the sake of things being right and getting the call right, I lean more towards that side of things where it's like, hey, if this is going to lead to less ejections, it's going to lead to less players bitching and moaning about umpires and strike calls and the Angel Hernandez and Joe Wests of the world, then let's do it. But again, there's something about just the game of baseball that having that more emotional, that more human element of the game that I appreciate, and this takes away from that. But again, for the sake of getting things right, I lean more towards let's get it right and implement this.
I've always been on the side of technology. As soon as you think it can affect the game in a positive way or make it easier for referees to, you know, to do their job or umpire a game in the case of baseball, you absolutely have to do that. But when it comes to MLB, Yeah, you talk about the human element, you talk about the classic feel of baseball, and you really talk about how different it is. There's really no opinion about this. It's factual, just a different game than basketball and football. It's a more thought-based game, and there's a lot of waiting and then quick actions happening, which obviously is unlike any other sport, you know? And so just in that feel, you want as much of that interaction, those arguments, those other situations where there could be some possible action happening to continue. Now, that being said, there have been too many mistakes regarding strike zones in the past few years. I agree that they're getting better, but there's really no way that you can actually say that guys like Angel Hernandez, guys, thank God he's out, but guys like Joe West and even other like Kerwin Danley. I mean, there's so many guys that are still hanging around that you know when they're behind the plate. CB Buckner, he's going to fight you. He's going to get close calls wrong more often than not, at least according to MLB umpire reports that you can find on Twitter after every game. And you're going to get in some arguments. And I actually like to see those arguments, Joe. That is one thing. You know, I want technology to take this precedence, and I want it to be easier for hitters to challenge a strike. I want it to be easier for them to be at the plate. They need an advantage when they're facing 100 miles an hour basically every inning now. But I miss those arguments. I'm going to miss all of those interactions, and we'll still have them. You know, check swing arguments will still be a thing. The umpire still has to be behind the plate for a bevy of reasons to track stuff. But yeah, I love to see those arguments. And frankly, like, I've been on the side of always wanted to hear what the players are saying to the umpires or the coaches are saying to the umpires. And that is a section of the game that could bring even more fans in. So I do think that's a major disadvantage. And maybe the biggest argument for like the human element in all of these kinds of sports and technology usage. I just think that human interaction in baseball is unlike any other sport that we see.
Tony Clark, executive director of the MLB Players Association, called player input on automatic ball strike interesting, saying there are those that have no interest in it at all. There are those that have concerns even with the challenge system as to how the strike zone itself is going to be considered, what that looks like, how consistent it is going to be, what happens in a world where Wi-Fi goes down in a ballpark or the tech acts up on any given night. We're seeing those issues, albeit in minor league ballparks. We do not want to end up in a world where in a major league ballpark, we end up with more questions than answers as to the integrity of that night's game or the calls associated with it. That's, you know, I feel like this strike zone, like if a guy was out or safe, that's pretty easy to decide for the most part. You know, there's a little line of like, it's inconclusive, so we're just going to keep the call as is. You know, it's.
Yeah, they right say the call stands instead of it's confirmed. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, it's like, okay, the ball entered the first baseman's mitt at the same time as the foot was hitting the base. So whatever the call was on the field, we're sticking with that. Whereas he's absolutely right. Like a strike zone. Whose strike zone? MLB strike zone? The strike zone according to the batter and where he's standing? How tall? How short? I mean, Jose Altuve's strike zone, much different than Aaron Judge's strike zone.
Well, and that is actually implemented in the AAA system that they're using right now at the beginning of each season. So in spring training,
so
this
every
is what
player
you do.
Has their own strike zone that
exactly.
is, what is it, calibrated
yes.
to them
at the beginning of the season. And that is based on your height. That's based on other parameters, I would assume. And you're right, Joe, that there is a big, big question about how that is going to be consistently implemented at 30 stadiums. If they're already having trouble, and, you know, we're talking AAA stadiums. Is there as much money that there would be, you know, invested into them as there would MLB clubs? No, of course not. But the potential for problems is there. And you wonder if J.P. Crawford's strike zone in Seattle is going to look the exact same on the computer as it would in Miami.
They said that initially half the game used the ABS automatic ball strike for every call and the other half used the challenge system, but MLB went exclusively to a challenge system where in the plate umpire calls balls and strikes as usual, and teams have a limited number of calls that can be reviewed on June 25th of 2023 last year. The switch, Manfred said, was almost 100% based on feedback from players who prefer a challenge system over full ABS. Manfred added that the accuracy of ABS is good to 1/100 of an inch, and the technology on the path of the ball is perfect
but that it's still not fully ready. Reading all this from the ESPN article written by Alden Gonzalez. You can go check that out on ESPN.com. But robot umps, we knew that they would be approaching, and they are on the horizon and will be arriving in the spring training most likely of next season and then possibly in 2026.
I mean, look at it this way. It's going to be adding a fifth ump. You're not taking away anything. You are adding a fifth umpire to the team. That's kind of how I'm looking at it.
Coming up next, we get to some trade deadline stuff. I have to ask you, Schulte, as a Mariner fan, do you like jazz?
I mean, I love jazz even not as a Mariners fan.
Well, you might like to have like jazz even more.
Uh-oh. Not this jazz.
Because there's rumors floating for the Mariners, for some of the contenders out there. Get to some trade deadline stuff right here on the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Get to some trade deadline stuff, but gosh, I completely missed this from over the weekend. On Sunday, Dodger starter Yoshinobu Yamamoto moved to the 60-day injured list.
Oh, missed that.
Leaving him inactive until at least August 16th. But the 60-day injured list is usually a sign of you're done, buddy. You're done for the year.
And I mean, they also just got the news that Dustin May, I believe it was like an esophageal tear that he had.
Esophageal?
Yeah, like literally a tear of your esophagus. And I was asking my wife, is that like a pitching injury or an eating injury? But he's out now after surgery for at least until next year. Of course, you still had Clayton Kershaw on the 60-day IL. I don't think Walker Buehler's off the 10-day IL yet. And then I'm forgetting one of their pitchers that's still on the injured list. And they've like had to throw out like three young guys plus James Paxton.
I want to say Walker Buehler.
Yeah, no, I just said Walker Buehler. Sorry. Don't believe he's come back. No, it's fine. God, there's so many of their guys that have missed time that they've had to go deep, deep into their minor league ranks for pitchers. And it's like Bobby Miller, I believe, is still healthy. Yeah, you got Paxton, you got Glasnow, and then basically two young guys who have been pitching very well, surprisingly.
With that being said, it kind of sounds like the Dodgers need some arms, and one arm that is being rumored to go to the Dodgers and, or, well, not really and, because the player can't go to two teams, or my Baltimore Orioles, is one Tarik Skubal of the Detroit Tigers, who is a Cy Young favorite. It would probably be him one, Corbin Burns two. Really could interchange the two, but he is being rumored by those two teams that they're looking to offload maybe some young talent and prospects to acquire Skubal before the trade deadline. Sounds like the Dodgers need him more than the Orioles. The Orioles have had some starting pitchers go down with injuries. I would say they do need him as well, because outside of Corbin Burns and Grayson Rodriguez, yes, Albert Suarez has been good for them, but I don't know if you can really depend on that the rest of the year. He is one of the best pitchers in the league and would definitely catapult the odds for either of those teams. And I would say the Dodgers are more desperate to get him, but it's just a matter of, you know, I don't know what his contract is like. I know that he is in contract for another 2.5 years.
Scooble?
Yes. So I don't know how much he's getting paid per year. I can't imagine it's that much.
I think he's still within his first 6 years of control with the Tigers. So he's probably in his first year of arbitration, I'd guess $5 to $7 million if I'm not looking at anything.
But Bob Nightingale is saying that we need to stop with the Tarik Skubal rumors, and that he is not going anywhere. Whether that is the right move for the Tigers or not, I mean,
probably not.
I don't know where you're going right now. And the Tigers need some hitters is what they need. They're pretty good in the pitching department, but they need dudes that can hit. And quite frankly, they need a scouting department that can and a coaching department that can help their young stars hit a little bit better, because it seems like any guy that they draft, it just they kind of fall by the wayside. Paging Spencer Torkelson, paging Akil, Akil Badu? Remember that he was supposed to be the next greatest thing? So
big old season, and then nothing. What happened?
So I believe he has 2.5 years left of control that if he were to be traded, then either of those teams could have.
But Tony Gonsolin was who I was thinking of, by the way.
There
like
you go.
They are so deep with pitchers that
and
you
injured
just forget.
Pitchers.
Yeah, injured pitchers that are really good that you forget who's on their roster. And by the way, what do they already called up Pajes, right? The Dodgers did this year. What do they have in the minor leagues available to trade?
That's where I feel about feel good about my Orioles. If that these are the two teams going after him. Orioles have one of, if not the best farm systems in the league. And so I feel like if there is a team that actually has young talent, has young hitters that they can send to the Detroit Tigers in a trade, it would be the Orioles. But I asked going to the break, Jordan, if you were a fan of Jazz, being a Mariners fan.
I mean, I am a fan of Jazz, but I'm not sure I'm a fan of this Jazz, brother.
Yeah, Jazz music is different than what I'm talking about. Jazz Chisholm, rumored as one of the teams that are interested in him, is the Seattle Mariners. There are a few other teams that are being floated out that have interest in the former All-Star. Kansas City Royals being one of them, the New York Yankees. I mean, the Mariners, it's kind of one of those, I think it's a situation where it's like, why the hell not? He can't be any worse than what we've been throwing out there this year as far as hitting and base running and offense goes. So I guess let's try and make a move, and maybe a change of scenery will help him this year. And because basically since the year year before his MLB The Show cover, which was he the 23?
I think 22 or 23.
Yeah, basically he's sucked since then. Ever since his one good year with the Marlins, it seemed, he has been not good at all.
Well, that was a pretty mediocre year, honestly.
Hey, Patrick has been banging this drum for a while now that he feels that he is one of the most overrated players in the MLB. And so this is just basically his true self coming to form here over the last couple of years. So that make you feel any better about Jazz Chisholm being a Seattle Mariner potentially?
Absolutely not. I don't want them to acquire another so-so player. This is literally like a Colton Wong-esque stat line that you're seeing out of Jazz Chisholm. Very mediocre guy, and in these cases, I love to go down to the Baseball Reference player comparison page, the similarity scores, and number one, Ian freaking Stewart. Then you got Jake Lamb, Keston Hira.
Hey, those guys were baseball players.
Yeah, exactly. Wilson Betemeade, all the way down to Eric Hinsky. That is one of the most mediocre group of baseball players I think I've seen in my entire life as far as a comparison to a single player that actually starts every day in the major leagues. The Mariners need...
Those guys did things.
They don't... You're right, but they don't need things. They need huge things, big things, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. type
big
things.
Big swinging things.
They've got to get all in. They've got to go with whatever prospect that they need to trade. Harry Ford, Cole Emerson, whoever it takes, maybe even Brian Wu. You're starting to ask a little too much, but they need to do something huge. Jazz Chisholm is just like Mitch Garver, like Colton Wong.
But his name is so cool.
And he's from the Bahamas. Woo! You're right. You know what, Joe? Let's do it that way. Let's go. He's cool.
They are also, quotes from Pete Alonso. He doesn't want to be traded. He says that he wants to stay a New York Met.
Well,
whether you know, whether that will happen or not, we shall see. But those are some of the rumors floating around.
He's probably got a great life in New York. There's probably steakhouses that always comp him. There are ladies always ready for him. He's got the Yadjeets. I don't know if he's married or not. New York's a good spot. Who would want to leave when you're a highly paid, sexy athlete?
I will say I saw a video going around of some guy trying to find parking around Citi Field, and it was jarring.
The subway.
Yeah, it was just like the way he was filming it was like kind of this like back alley parking lot area that had some like shacks and stands. And I literally thought he was in a developing country somewhere. And then he panned the camera over because he said, he's like, I feel like I'm in a third world country. He's like, Citi Field is right there. It was insane to see.
I will never, you will never catch me living in New York. I'll tell you that much, brother.
Ryan McMahon, Patrick's favorite of the Colorado Rockies All-Star.
Yeah, he should be a trade target of the Seattle Mariners.
He said himself that him and GM Bill Schmidt had, quote, we had a good talked about it, and we came to the conclusion that I'm going to stay a Rocky.
Damn it.
So it looks like he'll be staying put as well. But we've got exactly 2 weeks. 2 weeks before the trade deadline, one of the more active trade deadlines in the sports that can make or break a team's World Series hopes. So buckle up, Buttercup. We are almost there.
I'll try.
And we are at 8:30, which means we got Fair or Foul next. We get to that next here on the Hot Corner. But first, Jordan Schultz, Sports Center update.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
That's right. Fair foul time. One other player on the trade rumor circuit, Garrett Crochet, apparently the San Diego Padres, recently made an offer for the Chicago White Sox ace, but is quickly dismissed. Rival GMs are uncertain now whether Crochet will be dealt, but the White Sox still fully intend to move him, which they should, because they have an SE farm system, and they need players as well. So
yeah, they got to start over. They got to fire their manager. They got to fire their GM. They got to fire their owner.
They got to fire everyone. They should probably just, close up shop, get rid of everyone, move the team to Portland, and call it good.
They're going
to
fire their announcers, too. Really badly.
Nah, we ain't taking that.
These guys are terrible.
Well, I will say the one thing that the Tigers do have is Jason Benetti as their play-by-play guy, which was probably an upgrade. I don't know who their previous guy was, but
I believe it was Mario Impella, if I'm saying his name correctly. He got into a fight on air or during a commercial break with their color analyst, and both of those guys got fired.
Oh, God, I missed that.
No, that was like in 2017 or 2018. It's Impemba. Mario Impemba was the old Detroit Tigers announcer.
Dude, who doesn't love booth tension?
Let's see. Here we go. Impemba and Rod Allen, who replaced Kurt Gibson in the booth, were involved in an off-air physical altercation. This is according to Wikipedia. Immediately after broadcasting the Tigers' road game against the White Sox, Fox Sports Detroit sent the men home on different planes after the game, and they were later announced to not be coming back and not have their contracts renewed after the season.
Well, I know that Benetti was the voice of the White Sox up until last year. I want to say this goofball that the White Sox have now is their new voice as of this year. So then
he sounds young.
They got rid of Benetti. He jumped on with the Detroit Tigers. So good for the Tigers for having him, because he is one of the best.
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
All right, fair foul. we do this every week, right? Everybody's favorite segment. That's how
we do. Now that you're the producer, because when I was, we would get to 8 o'clock sometimes, and yeah, I'd be like, yeah, I don't think we're doing that, Patrick.
Like, brah.
No, right, we're good.
I did try to throw a couple of things down that popped in my mind over the weekend, Joe. One stump you question and two opinion-based questions here. I figured let's stick to the Home Run Derby for our stump you question because it was just so impressive. Those guys hitting so many bombs, man. Could not keep my eyes off the television. If you couldn't tell, I'm being facetious.
I can hit a golf ball further than that.
But, dude, if I got, like, any club into a swing, I could too, and I'm a terrible golfer. So, come on. It's not saying much, right? But the whole basis of my question here is that the Home Run Derby, hit or miss, right? We're talking about it being a major miss this year. We're wanting a new format. We're wanting to go back to the old format. And some years, it just doesn't, frankly, have the roster of guys that you think, you know, like, are very exciting. I know you like Gunnar Henderson. I'm huge on him.
Boy, he laid a dud, though.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I don't really think, like, Major League Baseball, like, is advertising Gunnar and Bobby Witt Jr. to the masses of the United States of America and North America to where everybody knows who those guys are, unfortunately. So I looked through the list of Home Run Derby winners over the past, want to say, 20-plus years.
Okay.
And there were some that surprised me, so let's try to stump you here with this one. Fair or foul? All three of these players have won a Home Run Derby. Justin Morneau, Todd Frazier, and Albert Pujols. Fair or foul? All three of these players have won a Home Run Derby. Fair or foul? Justin Morneau, Todd Frazier, or Albert Pujols. I will give you a hint. There is one name that is questionable out of the two that you would say, maybe? But, like, it's not two that are questionable, it's just one, if that makes sense. I'm only trying to stump you once, not twice here.
I'm going to say fair, because I know Frazier won one. And I was recently going through past winners, or I don't know if it was online or if I saw during one of the broadcasts, but Justin Morneau has won a Home Run Derby. So I would assume that Albert Pujols won one. I just can't remember what year, and I can't really remember the moment. But of all three of those players, he would be, again, I remember Adam Frazier. So you would think that the one player of this group is like, did Justin Morneau win one? But I'm like 99.9% sure on him winning one. So I'm going to say this is fair that all three have won at least one Home Run Derby.
This is actually foul.
Who was it?
So the winners of the Home Run Derbies are Todd Frazier back in 2015, beat Jock Peterson, the second place finisher, 15-14 in the final round there. And he actually was runner-up the year before to Yoenis Cespedes. So Todd Frazier, man, like, people forget, he was a bopper there for quite a while.
Yeah,
he did. In the mid-2010s, he did have a moment. Justin Morneau is a winner of a Home Run Derby.
Yeah.
He beat Josh Hamilton in that 2008 contest at Yankee Stadium where Hamilton went off with like 30 or 28 home runs is what it was in the first round, a record 28 home runs. The imposter on the list is
Albert Pujols.
Albert Pujols.
That's what I was saying. I can't remember what year, and again, it being a moment for him, I would just assume because of how good he was during his Cardinals day that he did get one, because hell, I can't remember every Home Run Derby winner, but yeah, I just knew that Frazier got one. I remember seeing that Morneau got one recently, and so I was like, well, okay, Pujols, he's one of the greats. He had to have gotten at least one.
That's what I thought.
Son of a bitch.
No, runner-up in 2003 at U.S. Cellular Field, which is where the White Sox play, and the winner that year was Garrett Anderson of the Angels, and let's see, it looks like it says Pujols and Jason Giambi. They lit up the scoreboard in the first two rounds. Pujols and Giambi did, apparently, but Pujols was bested by Anderson 9-8 in a dramatic final round. So there you go. Albert Pujols, the imposter, the poser on that list. Second place in 03.
I sit here stumped. You got me.
Home Run Derbies. Remember when Brett Boone was in the Home Run Derby looking all roided up? But he didn't. He didn't do them. Allegedly.
Like I said, remember when a lot of guys were in the Home Run Derby looking roided up?
Yeah, but when it's like a 5'10" dude.
We need to bring it back.
It was like everybody else. Jason Giambi, 6'4". Mark McGwire, 6'4". Brett Boone, 5'10".
You know, let's just go full bore into steroids, man. Let's just say F it. You know, what's the big deal? This is America, all right?
And that was one of the arguments for
chicks
a long time.
Chicks dig the long ball and huge biceps.
Yeah, they don't dig prostate cancer,
and
though.
And back knee.
But yeah.
And tiny testicles.
Yikes.
You got two more, right?
Oh, I got two more. I was just, yeah. Your balls shrink and your head grows. You're out.
It's over.
Good old Robin Williams joke. All right, so fair or foul regarding one Paul Skenes, starter of the All-Star game today for the National League, pitched the first inning. Paul Skenes having an amazing season so far.
He is an ugly dude with a hot girlfriend.
Now, that's not even where I'm going here.
1,000 times fair.
Not even where I'm going here. I love this talent. The guy's pitching over 100 miles an hour. He's got a 6-0 record so far, 1.90 ERA. Already 89 strikeouts in what I think like 11 or 12 appearances.
Yeah, he's really good, I hear.
Yeah. Pitched 7 innings of no-hit ball leading up to the All-Star break. So literally one of the best talents at starting pitcher that we've seen, I want to say, as far as like young hype since Steven Strasburg, right?
Yeah, that's a good one.
But unfortunately, the hype derailed in Strasburg's career by injury. And we have seen not just big name pitchers being derailed by injury, but a lot of pitchers going down with Tommy John surgery, arm injuries. There are a couple of different options now. Instead of just Tommy John, you can have a stabilization surgery for that UCL. But a lot of pitchers are missing a lot of time, and it has me worried about these really, really good young kids. So fair or foul, Joe, Paul Skenes, and I'm not saying this because I don't want him to succeed. It's because I just have the fear in the back of my head. Fair or foul, Paul Skenes will need Tommy John surgery in the next 3 seasons.
Dude, as much as I don't wish that on someone, fair. It's like,
yeah.
With how much these kids are just throwing absolute heat. Now, sales manager Ryan Cooley made a good point as we were watching him earlier today. It's like, he kind of looks effortless out there, though, throwing his 100-mile-per-hour fastball. But again, there is an uptick in elbow surgeries, elbow injuries, Tommy Johns over the last 10 to 15 years. As these kids just keep throwing absolute flames, we see an uptick, and it's just like when you see a guy throw a ball, and it's not just him, it's like Mason Miller as well. You know, there's Felix Bautista just had when he was having a great season last year until he wasn't. And now he is missing all of this year because of needing Tommy John and his elbow blowing up on him. It's like when you have these flamethrowers like this, it's just few and far between where at some point they need to get this surgery and something happens. So I think that dude is a walking Tommy John surgery at some point. It's just the nature of the game. It's not a matter of like, oh yeah, this guy sucks, I hope he gets injured. No, it's just this is how things have been going. We have seen a huge uptick. There was a stat that we saw that I mentioned a few years back, a few months back when Patrick and I were talking about it, but the amount of guys that are entering the MLB draft that have already gone through surgeries like this,
I know,
as compared to 15 years ago, it's like doubled or tripled. So it is what it is. It's a part of the game now. It sucks. I hate seeing great talent miss a season or even 2 seasons, for God's sakes. I mean, Sandy Alcantara was one of the best pitchers in the league. Can't wait until he gets back. But again,
what's it going to be like?
I mean, that's going to be until next year. So I think fair. It's going to happen at some point. But, you know, fingers crossed that it doesn't. Because if we can have a guy that has this much star power, this much heat, this much flames, and he is able to ride out his career and not have the surgery, I mean, dude. Buckle up, because it's going to be one of the most impressive pitching careers we have ever seen.
Yeah, you make a good point, though, about not only are these kids throwing harder at a younger age and having this surgery now, like, as an option, they'll slightly tear a muscle, or they'll slightly do something, and they'll just be like, nope, cut the whole thing. We need to redo this and get it going again so I can start over now instead of when I'm 26. When you're throwing that fast, and then the breaking balls, that's important. When you're trying to do the sweeper at the age of 15, 16, 17, this is not going to end well for you. All right, we're running out of time, Joe, so I think that is all we got tonight, brother. We talked a lot for just these two questions.
All right. Fair enough. Fair
or enough. I think that's fair.
All right. That is fair or foul for the evening.
It's over!
Thank you, Jordan, for putting something together.
Yeah, no problem, man.
And we will wrap the show up next because we're up against it, so let's take a break. Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
All right. We have finished the All-Star break. We have made it to the unofficial, official second half of the MLB season.
Woohoo. It's like past the half. It's like 85 or 6 games, right? Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
We always go over the official half in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, with the standings as is right now, my Baltimore Orioles, they have played 96 games.
They're 96, yeah.
Right now, I mean, let's do a little quick standings glance.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll, 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 roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
That's right. Fair foul time. One other player on the trade rumor circuit, Garrett Crochet, apparently the San Diego Padres, recently made an offer for the Chicago White Sox ace, but is quickly dismissed. Rival GMs are uncertain now whether Crochet will be dealt, but the White Sox still fully intend to move him, which they should, because they have an SE farm system, and they need players as well. So
yeah, they got to start over. They got to fire their manager. They got to fire their GM. They got to fire their owner.
They got to fire everyone. They should probably just, close up shop, get rid of everyone, move the team to Portland, and call it good.
They're going
to
fire their announcers, too. Really badly.
Nah, we ain't taking that.
These guys are terrible.
Well, I will say the one thing that the Tigers do have is Jason Benetti as their play-by-play guy, which was probably an upgrade. I don't know who their previous guy was, but
I believe it was Mario Impella, if I'm saying his name correctly. He got into a fight on air or during a commercial break with their color analyst, and both of those guys got fired.
Oh, God, I missed that.
No, that was like in 2017 or 2018. Mario Impemba. Mario Impemba was the old Detroit Tigers announcer.
Dude, who doesn't love booth tension?
Let's see. Here we go. The Impemba and Rod Allen, who replaced Kurt Gibson in the booth, were involved in an off-air physical altercation. This is according to Wikipedia. Immediately after broadcasting the Tigers' road game against the White Sox, Fox Sports Detroit sent the men home on different planes after the game, and they were later announced to not be coming back and not have their contracts renewed after the season.
Well, I know that Benetti was the voice of the White Sox up until last year. I want to say this goofball that the White Sox have now is their new voice as of this year. So then
he sounds young.
They got rid of Benetti. He jumped on with the Detroit Tigers. So good for the Tigers for having him, because he is one of the best.
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
All right, fair or foul. We do this every week, right? Everybody's favorite segment. That's how
we do. Now that you're the producer, because when I was, we would get to 8 o'clock sometimes, and yeah, I'd be like, yeah, I don't think we're doing that, Patrick.
Like, brah.
No, right, we're good.
I did try to throw a couple of things down that popped in my mind over the weekend, Joe. One stump you question and two opinion-based questions here. I figured let's stick to the home run derby for our stump you question, because it was just so impressive. Those guys hitting so many bombs, man. Could not keep my eyes off the television. If you couldn't tell, I'm being facetious.
I can hit a golf ball further than that.
But, dude, if I got, like, any club into a swing, I could too, and I'm a terrible golfer. So, come on, it's not saying much, right? But the whole basis of my question here is that the Home Run Derby, hit or miss, right? We're talking about it being a major miss this year. We're wanting to do a new format. We're wanting to go back to the old format. And some years, it just doesn't, frankly, have the roster of guys that you think, you know, like, are very exciting. I know you like Gunnar Henderson. I'm huge on him.
Boy, he laid a dud, though.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I don't really think, like, Major League Baseball, like, is advertising Gunnar and Bobby Witt Jr. to the masses of the United States of America and North America, to where everybody knows who those guys are, unfortunately. So I looked through the list of Home Run Derby winners over the past, I want to say, 20-plus years.
Okay.
And there were some that surprised me, so let's try to stump you here with this one. Fair or foul? All three of these players have won a home run derby. Justin Morneau, Todd Frazier, and Albert Pujols. Fair or foul? All three of these players have won a home run derby. Fair or foul? Justin Morneau, Todd Frazier, or Albert Pujols. I will give you a hint. There is one name that is questionable out of the two that you would say, maybe? But, like, it's not two that are questionable, it's just one, if that makes sense. I'm only trying to stump you once, not twice here.
I'm going to say fair, because I know Frazier won one. And I was recently going through past winners, or I don't know if it was online or if I saw during one of the broadcasts, but Justin Morneau has won a home run derby. So I would assume that Albert Pujols won one. I just can't remember what year, and I can't really remember the moment. But of all three of those players, he would be, again, I remember Adam Frazier. So you would think that the one player of this group is like, did Justin Morneau win one? But I'm like 99.9% sure on him winning one. So I'm going to say this is fair, that all three have won at least one home run derby.
This is actually foul.
Who was it?
So the winners of the home run derbies are Todd Frazier back in 2015, beat Jock Peterson, the second place finisher, 15-14 in the final round there. And he actually was runner up the year before to Yoenis Cespedes. So Todd Frazier, man, people forget he was a bopper there for quite a while. Yeah, he did. In the mid 2010s, he did have a moment. Justin Morneau is a winner of a home run derby.
Yeah.
He beat Josh Hamilton in that 2008 contest at Yankee Stadium, where Hamilton went off with like 30 or 28 home runs is what it was in the first round, a record 28 home runs. The imposter on the list is
Albert Pujols. That's what I was saying. I can't remember what year, and again, it being a moment for him, I would just assume, because of how good he was during his Cardinals day, that he did get one, because, hell, I can't remember every home run derby winner, but Yeah, I just knew that Frazier got one. I remember seeing that Morneau got one recently, and so I was like, well, okay, Pujols, he's one of the greats. He had to have gotten at least one.
That's what I thought.
Son of a bitch.
No, runner-up in 2003 at US Cellular Field, which is where the White Sox play, and the winner that year was Garrett Anderson of the Angels, and let's see, it looks like it says Pujols and Jason Giambi. They lit up the scoreboard in the first two rounds, Pujols and Giambi did apparently, but Pujols was bested by Anderson 9-8 in a dramatic final round. So there you go, Albert Pujols, the imposter, the poser on that list, second place in 03.
I sit here stumped. You got me.
Home run derbies. Remember when Brett Boone was in the home run derby looking all roided up? But he didn't do them. Allegedly.
Like I said, remember when a lot of guys were in the home run derby looking roided up?
Yeah, but when it's like a 5'10" dude.
We need to bring it back.
It was like everybody else, Jason Giambi, 6'4", Mark McGwire, 6'4", Brett Boone, 5'10".
You know, let's just go full bore into steroids, man. Let's just say F it. You know, what's the big deal? This is America, all right?
And that was one of the arguments for
chicks
a long time.
Chicks dig the long ball and huge biceps.
Yeah, they don't dig prostate cancer,
and
though.
And back knee.
But yeah.
And tiny testicles.
Yikes.
You got two more, right?
Oh, I got two more. I was just, yeah. Your balls shrink and your head grows. You're out.
It's over.
Good old Robin Williams joke. All right, so fair or foul regarding one Paul Skeen, starter of the All-Star game today for the National League, pitched the first inning. Paul Skeen's having an amazing season so far. Pitched
fair. He is an ugly dude with a hot girlfriend.
No, that's not even where I'm going here.
1,000 times fair.
Not even where I'm going here. I love this talent. The guy's pitching over 100 miles an hour. He's got a 6-0 record so far, 1.90 ERA. Already 89 strikeouts in what I think like 11 or 12 appearances.
Yeah, he's really good, I hear.
Yeah. Pitched 7 innings of no-hit ball leading up to the All-Star break. So literally one of the best talents at starting pitcher that we've seen, I want to say, as far as like young hype since Steven Strasburg, right?
Yeah, that's a good one.
But unfortunately, the hype derailed in Strasburg's career by injury. And we have seen not just big name pitchers being derailed by injury, but a lot of pitchers going down with Tommy John surgery, arm injuries. There are a couple of different options now. Instead of just Tommy John, you can have a stabilization surgery for that UCL. But a lot of pitchers are missing a lot of time. And it has me worried about these really, really good young kids. So fair or foul, Joe, Paul Skeens, and I'm not saying this because I don't want him to succeed. It's because I just have the fear in the back of my head. Fair or foul, Paul Skeens will need Tommy John surgery in the next 3 seasons.
Dude, as much as I don't wish that on someone, fair. It's like,
yeah,
with how much these kids are just throwing absolute heat. Now, sales manager Ryan Cooley made a good point as we were watching him earlier today. It's like, he kind of looks effortless out there, though, throwing his 100-mile-per-hour fastball. But again, there is an uptick in elbow surgeries, elbow injuries, Tommy Johns over the last 10 to 15 years. As these kids just keep throwing absolute flames, we see an uptick, and it's just like when you see a guy throw a ball, and it's not just him, it's like Mason Miller as well. You know, there's Felix Bautista just had when he was having a great season last year until he wasn't. And now he is missing all of this year because of needing Tommy John and his elbow blowing up on him. It's like when you have these flamethrowers like this, it's just few and far between where at some point they need to get this surgery and something happens. So I think that dude is a walking Tommy John surgery at some point. It's just the nature of the game. It's not a matter of like, oh yeah, this guy sucks, I hope he gets injured. No, it's just this is how things have been going. We have seen a huge uptick. There was a stat that we saw that I mentioned a few months back when Patrick and I were talking about it, but the amount of guys that are entering the MLB draft that have already gone through surgeries like this,
I know,
as compared to 15 years ago, it's like doubled or tripled. So it is what it is. It's a part of the game now. It sucks. I hate seeing great talent miss a season or even 2 seasons, for God's sakes. I mean, Sandy Alcantara was one of the best pitchers in the league. Can't wait until he gets back. But again,
what's it going to be like?
I mean, that's going to be until next year. So I think fair. It's going to happen at some point, but, you know, fingers crossed that it doesn't. Because if we can have a guy that has this much star power, this much heat, this much flames, and he is able to ride out his career and not have the surgery, I mean, dude, buckle up, because it's going to be one of the most impressive pitching careers we have ever seen.
Yeah, you make a good point, though, about not only are these kids throwing harder at a younger age and having this surgery now, like, as an option, they'll slightly tear a muscle, or they'll slightly do something, and they'll just be like, nope, cut the whole thing. We need to redo this and get it going again so I can start over now instead of when I'm 26. When you're throwing that fast, and then the breaking balls, that's important. When you're trying to do the sweeper at the age of 15, 16, 17, it's just not going to end well for you. All right, we're running out of time, Joe, so I think that is all we got tonight, brother. We talked a lot for just these two questions.
All right. Fair enough. Fair
or enough. I think that's fair.
All right. That is fair or foul for the evening.
It's over!
Thank you, Jordan, for putting something together.
Yeah, no problem, man.
And we will wrap the show up next because we're up against it, so let's take a break. Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
All right. We have finished the All-Star break. We have made it to the unofficial, official second half of the MLB season.
Woohoo! It's like past the half. It's like 85 or 6 games, right? Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
We always go over the official half in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, with the standings as is right now, my Baltimore Orioles, they have played 96 games.
They're 96, yeah.
Right now, I mean, let's do a little quick standings glance, shall we, as we enter the second half of the season. The Baltimore Orioles, they go into the second half with a one-game lead of the New York Yankees. Thank you, Anthony Volpe and Alex Verdugo, for not knowing how to play baseball in the ninth inning. Appreciate that. And Clay Holmes for technically blowing another save. But on the Yankees' heels, don't look in the rearview mirror. 4.5 games behind the Orioles, but just 3.5 games behind the Yankees are your Boston Red Sox. They are at 53-42. Patrick Harris, boy, he's had a rough couple years with the Red Sox because he just likes to say how much they suck when they actually don't. When they're actually manageable, if not better than manageable. The Central, the Cleveland Guardians, 4.5 game lead above the Twins. And the Royals are 7 games behind the Guardians, but they need to turn things around and start hitting the ball a little bit better. Their offense has slumped over the last few weeks. Your Seattle Mariners with just a 1-game lead over the Houston Astros.
Oh, they're going to lose it.
Dear God.
They're losing it.
They have 379 runs scored, which is good for third worst in the American League. Just above the White Sox, well, very well above the White Sox, but just above the Tampa Bay Rays.
Leading the league in strikeouts, leading the league in worst batting average, and possibly still, I believe, on track to set the record for worst batting average of all time in the history of 140-plus seasons of baseball. It's bad.
Phillies, right now, 8.5 game lead over the Braves, and they went into the break sweeping the Dodgers, I believe. If not, I think it was a series before that. Dodgers were swept by the Phillies a series before. Dodgers, man, they lost 6 of 7 games going into the All-Star break. But they still do have the lead in the National League West, a 7-game lead over the Diamondbacks and the Padres. And then the National League Central, Milwaukee Brewers, with a 4.5-game lead over the St. Louis Cardinals, who are playing some of the best baseball in the majors, but still somehow have a negative 38-run differential. Pirates are now 500 on the season, 48-48. This after they had a little bit of a slump, so they're starting to crawl back in the standings. The Reds, 47-50. The Cubs at 47-51. That will be an interesting division to keep an eye on.
Scrappy one. Yeah.
You know, if the Brewers their last 10, they went 3-7 looking at the standings here. I mean, if they start to slump a little bit more and then the Cardinals continue their good play, if the Pirates... I don't think they're going to make a move because, as we talked about last week, their owner is a liar and likes to tell the front office one thing and the players one thing and the fan base another. So we'll see if the Pirates do anything to try and improve their roster. But the Brewers, they have the Cardinals nipping at their heels. Right now, as far as wild card goes, your wild card teams in the American League would be the Yankees, Twins, and Red Sox. The Royals just 2 games behind the Red Sox. The Houston Astros just 3.5 games behind the Red Sox. It's very much looking like whoever misses out on the AL West will miss out on the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely. It's a situation of if you don't, and not just the AL West, but the Central as well. If you don't win your division, then you might not make the playoffs.
A lot of, well, at least that third place team, but I mean, just so much baseball still left to be played, right? We got, you know, well over 55 to 60 games left, so a lot left to happen last couple of months.
It is interesting, though, so many teams still being in it, Joe. Obviously, I think with, what, still 2 weeks to go, it's a main reason why we haven't seen much movement on the trading side yet, because there's, what, 18 teams still contending for spots right now?
I mean, dear God, look at the National League. Braves, Cardinals, Mets right now are your wild card teams, but the Diamondbacks, 1 game behind the Mets. The Padres, 1 game behind the Mets. The Pirates, 1.5 games behind the Mets. The Giants and the Reds, 3 games back. The Cubs, even though they suck, 3.5 games back.
So that's literally 12 teams in the National League going for playoff spots.
Everybody but the Nationals, the Rockies, and the Marlins essentially have a chance in the National League to make the playoffs. And again, we got a lot of games left to be played. So get ready for a fun end to the season. And thank God, once again, we expanded the playoffs, because now you have all these fan bases that actually will give an F towards the end of the year.
Still don't know if my Mariners actually ended the playoff drought, but, you know, asterisk, baby.
You'll take it. You'll take
we'll
it.
We'll take it.
All right, for Jordan Schultz, I am Joe Fisher. We will be back here, the two of us, again next week, and unless we get a ringer or something. Patrick will be out at Walker Stadium enjoying the Portland Pickles, that bastard, but I know he'll have a great time raising the chair. And I hope you have yourself a great rest of your Tuesday night. We will catch you next week. And us two, we will actually catch you on Sports Sunday if you want to give that a listen as well. For Jordan Schultz, Joe Fisher, you have a great night. All right. We have finished the All-Star break. We have made it to the unofficial, official second half of the MLB season.
Woohoo! It's like past the half. It's like 85 or 6 games, right? Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
We always go over the official half in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, with the standings as is right now, my Baltimore Orioles, they have played 96 games.
They're 96, yeah.
Right now, I mean, let's do a little quick standings glance, shall we? As we enter the second half of the season, the Baltimore Orioles, they go into the second half with a 1-game lead of the New York Yankees. Thank you, Anthony Volpe and Alex Verdugo, for not knowing how to play baseball in the ninth inning. Appreciate that. And Clay Holmes for technically blowing another save. But on the Yankees' heels, don't look in the rearview mirror. 4.5 games behind the Orioles, but just 3.5 games behind the Yankees are your Boston Red Sox. They are at 53-42. Patrick Harris, boy, he's had a rough couple years with the Red Sox because he just likes to say how much they suck when they actually don't. When they're actually manageable, if not better than manageable. The Central, the Cleveland Guardians, 4.5-game lead above the Twins. And the Royals are 7 games behind the Guardians, but they need to turn things around and start hitting the ball a little bit better. Their offense has slumped over the last few weeks. Your Seattle Mariners with just a 1-game lead over the Houston Astros.
Oh, they're going to lose it.
Dear God.
They're losing it.
They have 379 runs scored, which is good for third worst in the American League. Just above the White Sox. Well, very well above the White Sox, but just above the Tampa Bay Rays.
Leading the league in strikeouts, leading the league in worst batting average, and possibly still, I believe, on track to set the record for worst batting average of all time in the history of 140-plus seasons of baseball. It's bad.
Phillies, right now, 8.5-game lead over the Braves, and they went into the break sweeping the Dodgers, I believe. If not, I think it was a series before that. Dodgers were swept by the Phillies a series before. Dodgers, man, they lost 6 of 7 games going into the All-Star break. But they still do have the lead in the National League West, a 7-game lead over the Diamondbacks and the Padres. And then the National League Central, Milwaukee Brewers with a 4.5 game lead over the St. Louis Cardinals, who are playing some of the best baseball in the majors, but still somehow have a negative 38 run differential. Pirates are now 500 on the season, 48-48. This after they had a little bit of a slump, so they're starting to crawl back in the standings. The Reds, 47-50. The Cubs at 47-51. That will be an interesting division to keep an eye on.
Scrappy one. Yeah.
You know, if the Brewers their last 10, they went 3-7 looking at the standings here. I mean, if they start to slump a little bit more and then the Cardinals continue their good play, if the Pirates, I don't think they're going to make a move because, as we talked about last week, their owner is a liar and likes to tell the front office one thing and the players one thing and the fan base another. So we'll see if the Pirates do anything to try and improve their roster. But the Brewers, they have the Cardinals nipping at their heels. Right now, as far as wild card goes, your wild card teams in the American League would be the Yankees, Twins, and Red Sox. The Royals just 2 games behind the Red Sox. The Houston Astros just 3.5 games behind the Red Sox. It's very much looking like whoever misses out on the AL West will miss out on the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely. It's a situation of if you don't, and not just the AL West, but the Central as well. If you don't win your division, then you might not make the playoffs.
A lot of, at least that third place team. But I mean, just so much baseball still left to be played, right? We got, well over 55 to 60 games left. So a lot left to happen.
But
in these last couple of months,
it is interesting though. So many teams still being in it, Joe. Obviously, I think with what still 2 weeks to go, it's a main reason why we haven't seen much movement on the trading side yet. Because there's what 18 teams still contending for spots right now.
I mean, dear God, look at the National League: Braves, Cardinals, Mets. Right now are your wild card teams, but the Diamondbacks 1 game behind the Mets, the Padres 1 game behind the Mets, the Pirates 1.5 games behind the Mets, the Giants and the Reds 3 games back, the Cubs, even though they suck, 3.5 games back.
So I mean, literally 12 teams in the National League going for playoff spots.
Everybody but the Nationals, the Rockies, and the Marlins essentially have a chance in the National League to make the playoffs. And again, we got a lot of games left to be played. So get ready for a fun end to the season. And thank God, once again, we expanded the playoffs because now you have all these fan bases that actually will give an F towards the end of the year.
Still don't know if my Mariners actually ended the playoff route, but, asterisk, baby.
You'll take it. You'll take
we'll
it.
We'll take it.
All right, for Jordan Schultz, I am Joe Fisher. We will be back here, the two of us, again next week, unless we get a ringer or something. Patrick will be out at Walker Stadium enjoying the Portland Pickles, that bastard, but I know he'll have a great time raising the chair. And I hope you have yourself a great rest of your Tuesday night. We will catch you next week. And us two, we will actually catch you on Sports Sunday if you want to give that a listen as well. For Jordan Schultz, Joe Fisher, you have a great night.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.